You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this Monday show is a post-game one thrashing, yes, thrashing of the Milwaukee Bucks, 112-90, a 22-point win, and wow, I can't believe that the Celtics came into Milwaukee and just thoroughly dismantled the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to talk about it. We're the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for MassLive.com. If you're a new listener, follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. I'm joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam, jam!
A.K.A. Young Baby Jamwich.
Jam!
I appreciate that. I like the three jams. All right. So, I mean, normally I tell you what we're going to cover, but we're going to cover the game because this is just an amazing performance by the Boston Celtics. And let's just start at the beginning, Sam. Al Horford. It's not really often that a storyline as obvious as Al Horford versus Brook Lopez manifests itself as the storyline. Usually we all talk about one thing and then you come into the game and it's just like, oh, something else was a big deal. But this was the big deal. The Milwaukee Bucks, did what Budenholzer teams do. They keep doing what they did in the regular season, and it just didn't work. Al Horford just torched the Bucks. He had 20 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. He hit every shot that felt important. He made and then on the other side, he was the catalyst on the defensive plan against Giannis Antetokounmpo. Every time Giannis went into the lane, Horford was there. Other Celtics were there. Every time Giannis spun, somebody was there. It was a really effective game plan. Like, the Celtics put a game plan together and everything worked, and Al Horford was at the head of all of that.
He was absolutely phenomenal. And then just like every single time he hit a pick and pop three, it felt like an absolute backbreaker, because you're right that like Milwaukee plays drop pick and roll coverage. Like they're designed to basically give up that shot. And if that shot is falling, I just don't see what they're going to do. The thing that was wild about this game, though, is like every single preview for this series was, there's no way to slow down Giannis. You can't slow down Giannis. Like, that's just not something that's happened. And they absolutely slowed down Giannis. He was pedestrian. He was 7 for 21 for 22 points. Most of those points came in meaningless time. That was actually in the fourth quarter. He just couldn't do anything productive. He hit three threes, and that's just not his game. But you're right. A lot of it was just one-on-one defense with Al Horford just stopping him. But it really was a team effort, and kind of having that second man always ready for the spin move. But Giannis just – he was not MVP-level Giannis. He was not the best player in the game. And it was – it's frankly shocking. Like, this was a 1 o'clock start when it's been a couple hours since the game actually ended. But I'm just like, it's absurd to see that Giannis was a game high or a game low minus 24 tonight. Like, that's just not what I expected. We talked about that Horford storyline, but I just didn't expect Giannis to come out and like this in a game one.
Well, he did what Giannis does. I mean, that he played his game.
It wasn't for lack of effort or trying.
He played a regular, like, he was doing all of the things that Giannis does, but the Celtics knew it was coming, and more importantly, the Celtics are one of the few teams that is uniquely constructed to make that problematic for him. And this is the thing that we've talked about coming into this series, that it's not that Giannis, like, Giannis is probably the MVP. He's my MVP. And he does a lot of things extraordinarily well. But what the Celtics are able to do is take a lot of the things that he does well away. So it starts with Horford pulling Lopez, like, on offense. It starts with Horford pulling Lopez away. And then you start Marcus Morris, and he pulls Giannis away. So what that means is both of those guys have to work a lot harder. And then when Giannis is trying to attack, and you've got Al Horford standing in the middle of the lane with his arms spread wide open, and everybody else is standing there with their arms spread wide open, and Giannis is trying to attack, but all he sees is bodies and arms. After working as hard as he did on the defensive side, there's just a little less desire to try and fight his way through all of that. And it just, as hard as he worked defensively, and then he goes through and works as hard as he does offensively, the Celtics had the entire plan to attack him at exactly the right time. And one thing I thought was particularly effective, and I just wonder how the Bucks are going to counter this. Every time Giannis spun, like, Giannis's MO is basically drive and spin. And every time he spun, somebody was there. And he mentioned it after the game that every time he spun, they sent a second guy. So what Giannis said after the game was, I have to make the right pass, which to me is music to my ears from a Boston perspective, because yes, Giannis, please pass out of that, because we don't want you taking those shots. I just thought everything that the Celtics attempted to do personnel-wise, it just all worked, and it got Giannis into a place where he just couldn't be effective.
Yeah, and it like bringing in Baines, I did not think Baines was going to be the second guy to come in and guard Giannis, but it's just like throwing a huge body at him and not letting him do anything or get mobile was fantastic. And then you're right, I thought all the help defense was great. And if Giannis wants to make the pass and like give it to Pat Connaughton or Ilyasova out there, just like they don't have like great other players. Eric Bledsoe had a nothing game, was 0-4 from deep. Chris Middleton continues to be a bit of a demon who can hit at basically any shot, but even he was 16 points. So if you get the ball out of Giannis's hands, I think it's important. I think the Celtics played a very complimentary game in that their offense, the Bucks basically, this is like their whole offense is like, we're not going to let you go to the rim, and we're not going to foul you. You're going to get mid-range shots. And I think the Celtics, if you look at their shot chart, they knocked down a shit ton of mid-range shots. Pretty much everyone from Kyrie, who had a crazy first half, Jaylen Brown was pulling it off, Hayward, and then Horford in the pick and pop. But I thought that really helped their defense because it really limited the Bucks in transition. And so, basically in the half court where it's just like the ball comes around to Giannis, it's like, all right, you're expecting him to make a one-on-one move from the 3-point line against Al Horford and four other guys looking at him. It just made it really difficult for him. So I thought the Celtics being able to limit the Bucks in transition was huge. And basically the Bucks only point when they're in this game, Giannis was actually not, he was on the bench, but they went on that 15-0 run. And that was like, that was the Celtics not being able to score and the Bucks getting some easy baskets and making some threes. But as long as the Celtics kept scoring and were able to get back and set their defense, they were phenomenal on the defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, it all boils down to the execution of the defensive plan to limit, like, all week long, all I heard, at practice was Giannis in the paint, Giannis in the paint, Giannis in the paint. You knew that they were trying to limit Giannis in the paint. Every time he got close, they swarmed him. But they swarmed him in a way where they were still able to get back out to shooters. It's not like they left everybody open.
It was never hard doubles. It was just like right when he spun or like picked up his move. There was never like wild rotations to try to like skirt around what he passed out of it.
Right. And look, Giannis, doubling Giannis on the spin is exactly the play. And what it does now, like Giannis came out of that game knowing every time I spin, a guy is coming at me. So now in game two, you don't have to do it as much because he expects it every time. And you only have to do it now half the time. You don't have to do it as much as you did before because he just knows now. He's being conditioned to know every time I spin, a guy is coming. So now every time I spin, I got to pass. Whereas his entire season, his MVP season is every time I spin, I'm dunking on somebody. And what that now allows the Celtics to do is really stay home on those shooters and show maybe you fake a double. Maybe you come halfway and he just, as he turns, he sees a body, but you go back. And now what that allows the Celtics to do is steal live ball turnovers. And game two, looking ahead, can be a party of layups early on. If Giannis has got it in his head that every time I spin, I have to pass. And now the Celtics, if they say every time he spins, he's going to pass, now they really can jump the passing lanes. And all of a sudden, Boston can go out and transition and really put a hurting on Milwaukee. This is now an opportunity for Boston to not just steal a game. They can, if they play this right, and if they put forth the effort, and if this does play out this way, they have a very strong chance of winning two games in Milwaukee, which coming into this is, I thought, would be unfathomable.
Oh, yeah. No, the plan coming into this was just the hope to come away with a split. And so to have the opportunity to come out and get two is would be amazing. But it's just you have to expect that Giannis is going to play. Like, even with how great the Celtics played, I thought, yeah, like Giannis, I don't know if he was just like beaten up, which was so much like physical play in the paint. I know the Bucks were complaining about not getting as much like calls or contact in that game, which I didn't necessarily agree with.
24 three free throws. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And Giannis, it feels like he travels every single time he goes in the lane. So it's pretty even there. But I still think he missed some missed worse than I was anticipating. 7 for 21 is just not what you anticipate. I think it's going to be – he's like – clearly this is one of his worst playoff games. He's going to come back with that much more effort and that much more intensity. I'd be shocked if they're able to do this again. But they have the right personnel. And like, if they continue to have Al Horford – it says here he has 3 blocks. But I feel like he's at some point in the game he had like 6 blocks. So I don't know what's going on with some fuzzy box scores in Milwaukee. But – as long as they still have him, I think they have a great chance. But I don't know. I'm expecting the Bucks. There's a reason they're like the 60-win team. I'm expecting like a much better effort in game two.
Why don't we take a break? We'll take this a moment here, gather our thoughts, maybe temper this irrational enthusiasm after a very convincing game one win. I don't know. But we'll try. Reminder, if you're a new listener or if you're coming in from a Bucks perspective and you want to listen to the Celtics side of things, you can subscribe to this podcast and any Locked On podcast by downloading the new Himalaya podcast app, which curates your podcast feed based on your interests. So go ahead and download the new Himalaya podcast app. Or you can also, if you choose, subscribe via Google or Apple or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever podcasts exist. Or you can ask your smart device when you get in the car to play podcast Locked On Celtics or your favorite Locked On podcast. We're going to come right back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Why don't we here in segment two talk about some of the other guys? Because Al Horford had the monster game. Like, Al Horford was the best player on the floor in game one, which is wild to say in a series with Giannis, in a series with Kyrie, but Al Horford was the guy.
Most important player in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Absolutely. And look, he is the reason why the Celtics last season made their whole run without Kyrie and without Al Horford. People talk about Jalen, people talk about Jason and all, you know, all Rozier, they all had, if Al Horford was the guy that got hurt, they would have gotten bounced in the first round. Like, that's how important Horford is. He's the most indispensable guy. He is the matchup problem. So we know this. There were other unsung heroes in this, and I won't even bring up Kyrie at this point.
I was about to say, Kyrie with the quietest 26-11 performance I've ever seen.
26-11, I mean, plus 20. Team high plus 20. By the way, Giannis, worst. Game worst, minus 24. How often does that happen? That he's but Kyrie, 26-11 on 12 of 21 shooting. So he shot better than 50%, 26-11. And he had 7 rebounds, 26-11 and 7. And I don't even want to talk about him right now. I thought two guys stood out as unsung heroes in this game. Gordon Hayward, who in the second quarter really was killing the Bucks. He had 6 points in the second quarter, 2 of 4, couple of free throws. He only had 1 assist, but I feel like in the second quarter, when the Celtics built up that 15-point lead before Giannis went to the bench and the Bucks got it all back, it was Hayward who was hitting, just killing them from free throw line jumpers over and over and over again. And he and Jaylen Brown, who had a very efficient and steady 19-point game on 8 of 14 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3. He just never at any point, like Hayward had that little stretch where he kind of took over. Jaylen didn't take over at any particular point. The two things that stood out from Jaylen, he had a step back 3, which I thought, holy shit, step back 3. Yeah. That's new in the second quarter. And then he had that vicious poster dunk on Giannis, which produced one of the most amazing basketball pictures of all time. That picture from underneath the rim from the same guy who took that Dwayne Wade alley-oop.
Which is insane.
Right.
This guy's a legend.
That guy is amazing. He parks himself under the rim and takes that high-angle photo. But the photo of Jaylen Brown with two hands and Giannis kind of like splayed out to the left is like, if I was Jaylen Brown, I'd wallpaper my entire house with that photo. Like, that's one of the most amazing photos you could ever have. But those two guys, I thought, stood out to me as unsung heroes in this game. They won't get a ton of the shine, but they really stood out to me.
Hayward especially, I thought, was fantastic. Just coming off the pick and roll, yeah, he lived in that mid-range. The Bucks played the drop coverage, and they would follow him over the top, and he just did an excellent job of being patient and kind of figuring out what the spacing was, and if like they gave him the space, he would knock down that jumper. If they dropped a little bit, he kind of had a nice floater game going. Even that 15-0 run ended with him just making a nice backdoor cut and getting to the free throw line. I thought he was fantastic. I was screaming at the television for moments in that second quarter when Terry Rozier had a couple turnovers, like, get the ball in Hayward's hands, because he really needs to be the backup point guard. But I thought he was great. And then Jaylen Brown, I think he was just playing with a lot of confidence and shooting with confidence. Knocked down 3 huge threes. The dunk was just a very solid cut. And I thought he was like, with Smart's absence, his defense in the Pacers series and then tonight against their Middleton and just the guards of the Bucks, I thought it was just very solid. And he's been a very solid perimeter defender. They both were fantastic. But I actually do want to talk about Kyrie Irving, because I thought he played a masterful game. Like, he handled every single pick and pop situation perfectly. He had a little turnover heavy in the start of the game, but once him and Horford got on the same page, I just thought he was just able to do whatever he wanted. If you talk about like taking what the defense gives you, he just like, I think, made the right play every single time. And so when he needed to get to the rim and use his like left hand and do some crazy like stuff high off the glass, it happened. But when they were focusing on him, he made the right pass every single time. I thought he was dominant in a very quiet manner, which was it was great to see, because I mean, that's what we talked about all like going in the playoffs is Kyrie and Allen Kyrie. The thing that is, I don't know. I feel like I should be more optimistic, but I did declare the series over after game one last year. So, the Celtics made a lot of mid range jump shots. And so that's the thing we've kind of criticized this team for a lot. And it's kind of the design of Milwaukee's kind of wanting to give up those jump shots. If those jump shots don't fall as much as they did in game one and game two, that sets up more transition baskets for the opportunities for the Bucks, and then things could be different. But I don't know. That's the thing, is like the Bucks clearly have the best player in the series with Giannis, but like the Celtics offense is just designed for basically everyone to score 12 points, and just you get it to the open guy, and they have so much talent where it's just like, yeah, you're perfectly comfortable with Mook taking like that mid-range shot, because Mook's been taking that mid-range shot for his entire life. Or like, these are just all players basically 1 through 7 who are, you're fine taking, like, you want them taking open mid-range shots because they're all pretty like just like professional players. When you looked at the box score in the first quarter, it was just like each player had like 4 or 5 points or like 4 or 6 points. And that's kind of way that Brad's offense is equal opportunity. Everybody eats. So I'm like, at some point, a little skeptical about all the mid-range shots, and maybe not that they're not going to shoot 54% in game two, but I don't know. That's kind of feels like the design and like the versatility of the Celtics offense is like anyone can step up and just kind of give you 12 to 15 points.
So here's what's happening here. The mid-range shot has become the dirty word in the NBA, that it's the least efficient shot, except that if you can get it wide open and hit it at a high percentage, then it's a good shot.
The efficiency goes way up when it's wide open.
Right. Like, let's look at it. All mid-range shots are not created equal. So the NBA is geared towards layups, free throws, threes. We all know that. Mid-range shots are like the dirty word. But when you're behind the three-point line and you up fake and you step into a long two, that's bad. When you dribble, 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 dribble and take a contested two, that's bad. When Gordon Hayward takes a dribble or two off a pick and roll and the big, whether it's Lopez or somebody else, drops and gives Gordon Hayward a wide open free throw line jumper, that is a good shot. That is, for an NBA player, that is a layup, essentially. And all he has to do is make that at a 50% clip. And that is something that an NBA player can do. Mook was judicious in his shots. He took, what, 6 shots in this game?
3 of them from deep. Like, that's the perfect Mook shot profile.
Right. So in the first quarter, he was moving the ball. Like, this
He has playmaking. He was doing fantastic passing.
He was fantastic moving the ball. But Al Horford, wide open, pick and pop, top of the key. That is Al Horford's bread and butter. Straight away, that's why he's an above-the-break three-point shooter. All of that facing straight up, that is his money shot. So give him that shot all you want. When it's wide open, that's warm-ups. That's a warm-up shot for him. What Gordon Hayward was getting was a warm-up shot. Now, Kyrie wasn't getting necessarily warm-up shots, but I'll tell you
but he's a magical wizard where he can do anything he wants.
Yes, he is. He also took George Hill into the post and put him in the blender twice. So if you want to do that, go ahead. But if the Bucks' strategy is to drop and force good mid-range shooters into taking free throw line 15-foot jumpers, go ahead, because that's something that they can do. And then what ends up happening is the natural reaction becomes to move up on that because, holy shit, this dude is killing us from 15 feet, and then you start cutting. And so when Gordon Hayward in the second quarter, that performance in the second quarter is what sets up Jaylen Brown's dunk in the fourth quarter, because when Gordon Hayward takes the pass from Al Horford and dribbles left two times, two guys go with him, and that leaves Sterling Brown on the right elbow with Jaylen Brown and with Al Horford. And so Gordon Hayward takes two dribbles to the left. Al Horford's at the top, and Sterling Brown says, oh, shit, Al Horford's at a spot where he's been killing us. And two guys with Gordon Hayward say, oh, shit, he's going to a place where he's been killing us. And Jaylen Brown says, oh, everybody's got their heads turned. I'm just going to cut to the basket. I'm going to posterize Giannis. Like, that's the cumulative effect of good mid-range shooters taking good mid-range shots and knocking those things down and softening up a defense. That is my analogy that I use over and over and over again. Body blow, body blow, body blow in boxing. And then the Jaylen Brown dunk is kind of like the headshot. He sees guys with their heads turned, the good mid-range shooters who also happen to be two of the best passers on the team, Hayward and Horford. Jaylen Brown makes the cut. Hayward makes the pass. Boom. And as good as Giannis is, that's an easy dunk. And all Giannis was doing was getting onto the poster. So that's the beauty of what the Celtics are doing. And can we just say, can we get a hallelujah for the Celtics all season long saying, all right, this is just, wait till the playoffs. How many times, Sam, have you been in the locker room and heard Kyrie or somebody else saying, okay, let's just get through the regular season. The playoffs are going to be different. And we sat there and said, really? Yeah, really. Like, this is the really. Like, Mook is passing. He's not taking all these shots. Like, Terry Rozier wasn't great, but Terry Rozier in the first round was, like, a tremendous defensive presence. And Rozier still shot 50% in this game and had 11 points. It was a plus 13.
And in 9 rebounds.
Yeah. Like, I hate to say it, because at the time when the Celtics were saying it, we thought the audacity of these guys to say, wait till the playoffs, when you're looking like such shit in the regular season, it turns out they were right. And I didn't want them to be right, because there feels like there needs to be some comeuppance, a lesson, but like, they were right. When the playoffs came around, all of that individual crap went to the side. The look at me stuff mostly went to the side. And here they are against the best team in the NBA, executing a fantastic offense, moving, passing, all of that stuff, connected on defense, executing a sterling defensive plan. Like, everything is connected. It's unlike anything we've seen from these guys, and it's happening in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, the connected part is key, and I think it was on both offense and defense. But every time they would show, like, the Al Horford defense package, and they'd show him with his hands up, and they'd, pause it, every single guy was, like, hands up looking at them, and it felt like they're playing the most on the string on defense that they played the entire year. And so I'm sure the playoffs, the more focused, they talked about that post-game, but then also having – a week to prepare for this, I think it was pretty beneficial for this team, because that's probably the best defensive performance this Bucks team has seen the entire year.
Yeah. I mean, that was as connected as the Celtics have been, and as effective as they've been. And really, I don't know if the Bucks expected that. I really don't know if the Bucks expected that.
I don't know if anyone expected that.
No, I didn't. I thought the Celtics could win game one. I bet on the Celtics to win game one. Not like officially bet, but I thought that they would win game one. I thought they had it in them. I believed in the Horford mismatch. I thought that the Celtics could come out and do it, but not like this. This was amazing. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Some of your tweets, and we'll wrap up the show here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. After every game, we ask you to tweet us with the hashtag RainandJays or RainandJunk if you've got some junk. And we will read a select few of those here on the podcast. So let's begin. We'll work our way backwards with at Bill Bradbury, who says, I didn't hear any of this because I'm in Milwaukee, and I'm glad I didn't. He says, good Lord, radio takes, quote, Celtics are better without Smart.
What?
Whoever said that, I have a strong urge to like physically assault whomever said that, because that is just asinine and like lazy. Like, you can't just every time a guy is hurt say, oh, well, this team did well. Oh, well, they're better without this guy. Like, we thought better without Kyrie. We heard better without Kyrie for a portion of the season. Well, Kyrie's playing now, and they're great. So then that blows their theory out of the water. And now if anybody is saying better without Smart, like, what kind of idiot are you? Like, who is this person who said better without Smart? Who on the radio said better without Smart? Tell me, because I want to tell that person face-to-face that person is an idiot.
You're here.
At Steve underscore Asaurus. Is that like a thesaurus or
a dinosaur?
Maybe.
Who knows?
He says, Horford is by far the C's key to the playoff series. He stretches the floor. He's physical. Leads by example. He also wins the best eyes and facial expression superlatives and deserves a free taco for life. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about Horford other than playoff Horford is real, and I never want to hear anybody say average Al again.
Yeah, no, he's everyone's daddy. He's the strongest father out there. He's a great human being, and he's better than you. Not you personally, John, but like the royal.
No, he's better than me too, personally.
Yeah, well, he's better than all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a there are a lot of Al Horford tweets in this feed of Rain and Jay's hashtag. Let's see here. In fact, I think all of the hashtag, now that I'm looking at it, they were all Horford tweets. And mixed in was the Welcome to Erotic City from Andrew Moore in 1987. This was a very erotic city win. Everybody should be playing their Prince music after this. And at Bill Bradbury, Giannis a minus 24. Wow. So, yeah, that was that's the reaction after this game. Do you have a junk drawer after this game?
I have a brief junk drawer. There is some raining junk tweets. Got a quick a reference to Daniel Tice's quick trigger, which is fantastic. I don't remember Tice taking a shot, but I'm going to believe Jake Eisenberg on that one.
Two of two?
Two of two. I remember he got a lob. It was, shouts to the Celtics for both messing
one
up.
One successful lob.
Al Horford, if we're going to give him any criticism, he threw probably one of the worst lob attempts I've ever seen.
Look, if it wasn't for Terry Rozier's lob off the side of the backboard, that Al Horford lob might live in infamy. The Celtics are the worst lob team in the NBA. It's just amazing how horrible they are at throwing alley-oops. It's ridiculous.
Oh, this is from Andrew Moore at Andrew Moore 1987. Okay, Brad, light that Time Lord victory cigar. We did get some Time Lord minutes, which is fantastic. Ooh, this is a good question for you from Mr. Horse's Neighborhood. How do you say Al's child in Greek?
Al's Pivi.
Al's Pivi. Giannis is Al's Pivi. That's about it. My junk drawer is...
You'd say Giannis Ine or Al Spidi.
I'm going to let you keep
That's
the Greek All right. Yaskata, Yasu.
Yasu, Naka.
My junk drawer is Jaylen Brown, 5 years ago, tweeted that his high school teacher said she was going to see him in Cobb County Jail. And then today he put Giannis Antetokounmpo on a poster on national television. That's just fantastic stuff.
I know. I saw that. I saw that dug up. Like, what kind of an asshole teacher says that to a kid?
It's just so shitty.
What fucking asshole teacher says to a kid, I'll see you in Cobb County prison? Jesus Christ.
Especially like Jaylen Brown, who feels like the more intellectually curious.
Calm, like he's never, I can't imagine that he's ever been a problem anywhere other than like questioning authority, which you should always do.
Moving on to Mike Boonholzer looks like a very upset adult baby at all times.
I saw that tweet. Oh my God. I had a vision to, was the water boy? The Adam Sandler, when like Henry Winkler looks across to the sideline and sees like the baby, like that's Budenholzer.
That's what he looks like. It's like complaining about fouls. It's just like he's very upset.
He is. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Speaking of big, beautiful boys, Aaron Baines. That's just in my notes right now. I'm assuming that after he hit that huge three, his only field goal attempt of the game, but that was fantastic stuff. For some reason, Robin Lopez is, there's a commercial for him with a Godzilla movie, but I've had to watch the commercial a couple times. It was Robin Lopez, in a commercial for the new Godzilla movie, and it's pretending that he's making his own Robzilla movie about, mascots. And those two are just some beautiful, goofy bastards, and I appreciate the hell out of them. I'm very excited to ask Brooke Lopez some very weird Simpsons questions before game three. It's going to be fantastic.
I, for no rational reason, want the Lopez twins on the Celtics.
I've been pushing for Robin Lopez to join the Celtics for years.
That would just be so amazing. Just somehow, some way, at the end of one of their careers, like Robin Lopez on the Celtics would just be a godsend. Like, there would be scrums outside Robin Lopez's locker with every reporter because he'd be the guy who's giving the money quotes every night.
And he's just like weird and embraces that. And if you guys know anything about me, that's kind of
basically your beat.
Speaking of weird, did you happen to catch the halftime show?
No.
You missed my main man, the amazing Sladek.
Okay, so I didn't want to. So let me give you a little inside baseball. So we got to the arena. So it's in Milwaukee is an hour behind. So it's a noon game. I woke up, go down to my hotel, got that free crappy hotel breakfast, go to the arena. And normally at arenas, there's like a spread. There's either you pay like $10 or it's free, whatever. But there's like a buffet. They didn't have that at the Fiserv Forum because...
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, right? So...
As a big purveyor of media snacks, the Celtics will give you loads of chocolate and chips and many things.
But here's what they did. So the media dining, the reason why is because the media dining, there was such a crush of media that they turned all of media dining into tables and workspace. What they did was they gave you a voucher. For you can go to any concession stand, and it was basically $20 at any concession stand. So, but pregame, if I'm not eating at media dining, I'm not eating because I'm on the court. I'm not going to the concession stand. I'm working. I'm going to coaches' availabilities. I'm going to locker room availability. I'm writing pregame notes. So at halftime, I had this voucher and I was starving. So I was walking around the concourse on the very upper level where they stuck me at the Fiserv Forum. I wanted to watch that halftime show. I was sitting next to Paul Flander and he was like, this dude's a legend. But I'm like, I'm starving. So I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta go eat food. And by the time I went and got like a sandwich and came back and sat down, the game had restarted. Like, that's how long it took me to stand in line
get
the food. Like, I literally sat down and they were inbounding the ball. So I missed the entire halftime show and I'm very upset about this.
Well, let me tell you, it's the amazing Sladek. He puts about 15 chairs on top of each other and then stands upside down on top of his head on top. It's dangerous. It's reckless. It's fantastic stuff.
And he's like 67 years old.
Oh, yeah. And he basically blows Red Panda out of the water. Red Panda can kick rocks. The Amazing Sladek is the greatest.
Come on. No, don't shit on Red Panda. She's great.
This guy is eight times further in the air than she is.
He's better. You can say he's better, but don't shit on Red Panda. Red Panda.
It's a zero-sum game in my halftime entertainment. Either you're the Amazing Sladek, or you're like the BF dog, like the freaking Franklin from 76ers just climbs a ladder.
All right,
like,
so
come on.
Can I say, like, after all of that, like, I don't know if anybody saw this, but the Bango, I like the Bango mascot from Milwaukee. He in one of, or she or it, whatever, I don't know what the pronoun is, but the Amazing Sladek assisted Bango in Bango's own chair stacking.
Oh, that's player.
But the chair stacking was like those like plastic chairs that when you stack, they just like slide right into one another. So it was a fun little bit where Bango just like, oh, he's going for three, and just like slid and they're the same height. So it was just kind of a, but the Amazing Sladek, like, it was a goof, but did the whole like with the pole, like reaching the chair up to Bango. It was a fun little goof.
See, that's Sladek's money. Yeah. This is a great halftime analysis talk. I don't have much more of a junk drawer. You missed from the broadcast is there's just like Mark Brown was just going on. It was basically just a segment trying to explain why Ersan Ilyasova is so ugly. Apparently he's broken his nose like 17 times. But I found that just to be entertaining. And then last thing, real nice Brad ATO in the fourth quarter. That's not really junk, but I
was
see it in my notes.
And
I wanted to bring it up. Yeah, it's the one that they tried in Indiana earlier in the year that Kyrie actually messed up and led to Oladipo hitting the game winner. But this time they got it, and it was good stuff. Brad was great with his timeouts today.
Yeah.
It was great stuff.
Yeah, here's a news flash for everybody that the regular season coaching is different than postseason coaching. And that's just all I got to say about that.
Another newsflash, Brad Stevens, actually good.
He's good. He's a good coach. And if you think you're not, if you think you're better than him, you're not. You're not in the NBA. And he's an NBA coach, and he's good at it. So, all right, we'll just leave it there because we got to do a podcast tomorrow, and there will be more to talk about, and some of it will overlap. So that's the show. Enjoy the win. Game one. Let's see if the Celtics can do game two. That will happen on Tuesday. That is an 8 p.m. Eastern game at Milwaukee in the Pfizer Forum. We'll talk about that. Then Monday is practice. So we'll, whenever they have practice or shoot around or whatever it is, we'll let you know what happened there. So subscribe to the Lockdown Celtics podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. Go ahead and download that. It's a curated feed based on your interests. So download the new Himalaya podcast app to get that. And also, if you do not want to do that, you can do podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever podcasts live, we live to tell your smart device at home or in your car to play podcast Locked On Celtics. All of you regular listeners, give us that 5-star rating, a good written review, and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.